Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. Today, Andrew explains how to trust in God regardless of the circumstances. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I started last week, and I've entitled this series, In God We Trust. And this is a little departure from me. I'm taking scriptural principles and teaching from the Word, but I'm applying it to a current situation, this financial crisis that has shocked the world. I mean, over in Europe and in Holland and Russia, it was on the news, people talking about it. And, you know, there's some people that have just totally panicked. So last week, I began to start taking the scriptures from Genesis chapter 26, where Isaac sowed in a time of famine and received a hundredfold return. And this is the thing that jump-started his prosperity, that caused him to be catapulted to a position where even nations recognized how blessed of God he was. And it all happened during a time that everybody else was struggling. Here he was thriving. And I've just been trying to put this forth, that now is not the time for Christians to get into fear and to panic and to circle the wagons and trying to just hold the fort and ride this storm out. Man, we need to be hearing a word from God. And this is the point that I was making on our program last Friday when we quit. Out of Genesis chapter 26, instead of just doing what everybody else was doing, there was a mass exodus where people were going to Egypt because they didn't have famine in Egypt. That would have been what logic dictated. But Isaac got a word from God. God appeared unto him and told him, don't go to Egypt, stay in this land. And remember, that was telling him to stay in a position that looked like it was failure. Like there was no way you could prosper because there was a famine. And yet, at the word of the Lord, he did it and he prospered. And what I've been trying to get across is that we need to unplug from this world. Brothers and sisters, I just can't tell you how passionately I feel about this. If you are watching the news to be informed, you are misinformed. I can guarantee you, it is twisting and perverting and magnifying and amplifying the negative and omitting and passing over all of the good. And you are just one misinformed person if you are plugged into this world system. We need to go by what God has to say to us and not let the panic and the fear that is ruling in the world dominate us. Boy, those are powerful, powerful statements. And so Isaac got a word from the Lord, and the Lord told him to stay in that land, in a place where there was famine, in a place that it looked like failure was imminent. And I'm just saying that instead of going by circumstances and instead of letting the news media herd you in a certain direction, and instead of you just becoming one of the herd that goes along with everybody else and follows in the same fear and the same unbelief and worry and care, you need to get a word from God. And last week, I gave literally dozens and dozens. I went through a list of dozens of scriptures that talked about fear not, that the Lord is with us. He would cause us to prosper. God has blessed what He said our hand unto. Even if the earth was to be removed, David said, I will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be cast into the sea. Nothing we're dealing with is remotely as bad as those scenarios, and yet David said, I'm not going to fear even if that happens. You know what? We should not be in fear. We ought to be trusting the Lord, and we ought to be getting a word from God. And brothers and sisters, let me just tell you that God wants to speak to you. John chapter 10, I won't take time to read all of those verses, but he said he's the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep hear his voice. They won't listen to another. It's normal Christianity for us to hear from God. The Holy Spirit, John chapter 16, it says that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. The Lord will show you what to do. The Lord will speak to you. Spend some time in the presence of God. Unplug from the bad news and read and listen to the good news as the Holy Spirit inspires it and interprets it to you and brings it to your remembrance. Listen to this program. Listen to the things that I believe God is trying to say through me to people who are about to panic and undo all of the good that you've been trusting God for. you need to get a word from God. If God has told you to stay in that place, and if it defies the conventional wisdom, then do what God tells you to do. And just like Isaac, you're going to see a supernatural harvest come out of this. And so the Lord promised him that he would do all of these things. Notice also in verse 5, this is Genesis 26, 5, he made it clear that this blessing was coming because Abraham had obeyed his voice and kept his charge and his commandments and statutes and laws. In other words, this wasn't happening to Isaac just because of who he was. It was because of his father and the covenant that he had. And did you know that there's a direct application of this to you and me? It's not all about you. It's not whether you've done everything right or not. When you put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you became a joint heir with Him. And you are blessed because of God's blessing upon Jesus. You know, I could spend an hour explaining this. I'm not going to do that. But let me just say quickly that the covenant that you have with God is really not between you and God directly. It's between God and Jesus. And you, by faith in Jesus, have become a joint heir with Jesus. And the covenant is as sure and as lasting as Jesus is. He doesn't ever change because the covenant is made with Him. So therefore, you are a recipient of all of these blessings, not because you're the sharpest knife in the drawer, not because you do everything right, but because you are a joint heir with Jesus. It's because of your elder brother, the Lord Jesus, and your heavenly Father that this blessing is passed down upon you. Now, like I said, I could spend an hour amplifying on that because so many people let the devil just talk them out of things, thinking, well, you messed up. You know, it's possible. I'm just coming up with a scenario here, but I gave this testimony that my wife heard from the Lord, and we took the little bit of money that we had in the stock market, our retirement stuff, and she took that out and put it into a money market and into a really safe deal. And because of it, we've lost very little money. And so you hear a testimony about that. The Bible says in John chapter 16, I believe it's verse 13, that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. And you hear that, and then you think, oh man, God was telling me to do this. I felt it. I knew I should have, and I didn't obey. And many times you just think, well, I deserve everything I'm getting. And you just think, well, it won't work for me because I haven't done everything right. Do you know, Isaac didn't do everything right. Right after the Lord gave him this word. Now, he did do one thing right, and that was he obeyed. Like in the sixth verse, it says, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. That's what the Lord told him to do. The temptation was to go to Egypt where all the food was and the prosperity was. But instead, he went against natural logic. He went against the prevailing wisdom of his day and he obeyed God. But he didn't obey God perfectly. I'm not going to take time to read all of these verses, but in the next few verses, you find that Isaac was afraid that somebody was going to try and kill him to be able to get to his wife, Rebekah. She was such a beautiful woman. And so Isaac actually lied and said, this isn't my wife, it's my sister. And this went on for a large, long period of time. And finally, one day, Abimelech looked out a window and saw Isaac sporting with his wife, Rebekah. That's what it says in the last part of verse 8. Now, the terminology here, he saw Isaac sporting with Rebekah. I don't know exactly what that means, but here's the reaction of Abimelech. It says in verse 9, Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. So I don't know exactly what sporting is, but I can guarantee it's something you don't do with your sister. You can tell that. Abimelech figured it out real quickly that this was not just his sister, that this is bound to be his wife. And he called Isaac in and began to rebuke him. And did you know that Isaac was wrong in this? I believe that this is really something that is kind of a overflow or a result of Isaac's father, Abraham. Abraham twice did this exact same thing with Sarah, his wife, and he was reproved for it, and yet he continually did it. I mean, he was willing to let somebody else take his wife and commit adultery with her just so he could save his hide. I don't care how you slice that. It doesn't matter how you try and whitewash that. That was wrong. Isaac was wrong. And I don't know this for sure, but I've studied this and thought about it. I think he was unjustified in this fear. Because when Abimelech saw what had happened, he reproved Isaac and he says, "What have you done? What could have possibly made you act this way?" And Isaac told him that he was afraid somebody had killed him trying to get to his wife. And Abimelech said, "What is this that you have done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us." And Abimelech charged all of the people, saying, "He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Now, Abimelech, the king's response shows that he considered this great iniquity if somebody would have taken another man's wife and have had sexual relationship with her. And he protected Isaac and Rebekah. And so his response to me shows that there was more godliness, there was more of a sense of morality in that nation than what Isaac gave him credit for. I can't prove that, but you can't disprove it. Anyway, I believe it was totally wrong what Isaac did. He shouldn't have done this. And my point in bringing all of this up is to say that God gave Isaac a word not to go with the herd, not to do what everybody else did. Look at this negative situation and stay in a place that conventional wisdom would have said, don't do it. And yet at the word of the Lord, he obeyed. So there was cooperation on Isaac's part, but it wasn't perfect. He didn't do things perfectly. He got into fear about his wife and he did not do the right thing. And the significance of this is that, you know what, maybe you haven't done everything just right. Maybe you didn't follow God's leading on your investments. Maybe you took out mortgages that were, you know, these adjustable rate mortgages, and you just forgot about the future and you mortgaged your future. Maybe you have gotten yourself in debt to the point that now you're in a crisis situation. And there's a tendency to just think, well, I did this to myself and God's going to let me stew in my juice. But no, here's Isaac, who did something wrong, really something much more wrong than probably what most of you watching this program did. And yet God protected Isaac and God blessed him, not just because Isaac did everything right, but because of the covenant that God had established with Isaac's father and that had passed on unto him. And it's the same thing. God doesn't move in your life because you do everything right. God moves in your life because you have put faith in Jesus. And even if you've made mistakes, there's an opportunity here to learn something. There's an opportunity here to, instead of just to go with what everybody else is doing, is to stop, settle yourself down, be still, and know that He is God. Psalms 46:10. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Hear what God is telling you to do. And even if you've made mistakes, God will give you wisdom and guidance. I'm telling you, in the name of the Lord, I really felt impressed of the Lord to share this over television with people, to go counter to our culture, to swim upstream against all of the negative things that are being said. I believe that God inspired this, and I believe that the reason for it is because there are some of you that, because there is no voice, or certainly not very many voices out there saying, believe God, trust God, go for it. Instead, everybody's pushing the panic button and hitting the brake. And there are some of you that, if you will just respond to this and take this as a word from God, and if you will pray, God is going to show you some things that is, this is going to turn out to be one of the very best things that has ever happened in your life. There are some of you that are at a point right now where you can make adjustments and you can begin to start prospering financially, emotionally, in your marriage, in relationships, social things. God can bless you supernaturally, but you've got to get out of fear. It's like fear is this direction. Faith is this direction. They're opposites. And if you are running in fear, if you are listening to this world and following their guidelines and in fear, I guarantee you, you are not headed towards God. You are not running with God. God is not panicked. God is not sitting in heaven, wringing His hands and wondering, how am I ever going to pull the world out of this problem? Amen. It just isn't happening. I remember back in the 80s when the interest rate was up to 20% and people were just, I mean, wailing and travailing and talking about, where is this going? That's when we had the fuel shortages and people were sitting in their cars for hours trying to get gas at the pumps. And, you know, it just looked like everything was coming unraveled. And I remember back then thinking that God's my source, and I didn't get bothered about all those kind of things. And you know what? We made it through that. The rest of the 80s began to be one of the greatest, extended periods of time of prosperity that this nation has ever known. And we made it through that. We're going to make it through this if you still yourself and listen to the Lord. And remember Isaac as an example here. He didn't do everything right, but praise God, he did listen to the Lord. Let me use these verses out of Psalms chapter 67. And remember that Isaac had been in absolute fear and terror that somebody was going to kill him to be able to get to his wife. And look at these verses in Psalms chapter 67. And in verse 3, it says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. You know, I believe that Isaac was operating in fear about somebody taking Rebekah, his wife. But when the Lord delivered him from this threat and instead actually granted, the king granted his supernatural, or not supernatural, but his superior power over that nation to Isaac and said, no man can touch this man or his wife. And when Isaac saw this happen and the Lord delivered him from all of his fears, you know what I believe the result was? Isaac went to praising God. And what happens when you praise God? We just read these verses, but specifically in verse 6, it says, then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. It's talking about after you praise God. When Isaac was delivered from this negative situation, I just know in my heart that Isaac began to start thanking and praising God for his faithfulness and his mercy, because Isaac did the wrong thing. This wasn't right about him not standing up for his wife. In the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that, you know, the man is supposed to lay down his life for his wife, and he's supposed to protect her and do all of these things. Isaac wasn't doing that. Isaac failed as a husband, and yet God blessed him. And when he saw this, I can just imagine that Isaac erupted in praise. And according to this verse, when you praise God, then the earth yields its increase. And you know what happened? Over here in Genesis chapter 26 and in verse 12, it says, then Isaac sowed in that land. Notice it says then. This is after this great deliverance, after God had set him free, after Isaac had started praising and thanking God for his intervention. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And again, this is exactly what was prophesied in Psalms chapter 67. It says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. This is nearly word for word exactly what is recorded over here in Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. If you would quit operating in fear and speaking forth doubt and unbelief and negativism and worry and fear, if we would depart from that and instead start praising God, for all of the promises that God is going to take care of you, that God is your source, that God is the one who prospers you. If we would get into the Word and put our confidence in the Lord and start praising Him, even in a time of famine, even in a time of financial crisis, if we would go to praising God, I guarantee you, when you praise God, then the earth yields her increase. You know, it's hard to get a 100-fold return off of a seed that you sow, even if it isn't a time of famine. I mean, the Scripture says over there in Mark chapter 4 that there's 30, 60, and 100-fold return. 100-fold is the best. That's at the top. That's the highest return. And yet, Isaac received 100-fold in a time of famine. Why? Because he had started praising God. He had obeyed God. He had gotten a word from God. He submitted to it, not perfectly. He did some things wrong. And when he saw the mercy of God extended towards him, he began to praise and thank God. And the earth brought forth its increase, and God blessed him. I'm saying to you in the name of the Lord, I really believe this. This is a word from God for you. That if you would not just follow the crowd, if you wouldn't just listen to the fear mongers, to the chicken littles talking about the sky is falling, if you would get hold of these promises of God's Word that He's going to prosper whatever you set your hand unto, that God is your source, that God is going to bless you. I don't care what the economy does. I don't care what the world talks about. If you had your faith fixed in God, and if you were praising God and operating in praise instead of fear and doubt and unbelief, you would prosper. God would cause you to receive a hundredfold return. Brothers and sisters, I'm saying this in the name of the Lord. This is God speaking directly to some of you. And God is trying to get you to trust Him. Now, when it's dark in the world is when our light can shine the brightest. This is when you could be the greatest testament to your family, to your relatives, to your friends, to your business associates about how God is your source and not people. How God is your source and not the economy. This is a great time for you to shine. The darker it gets, the more your light stands out. I'm saying in the name of the Lord that God is stirring some of you up. I really believe that, to trust Him, to get out of this world system, to not be dominated and limited to this world system. I tell you, if you are thinking that because the economy has been bad, because there are some problems and stuff like this, and if you are thinking, therefore, you cannot prosper, you have to start expecting to have decrease and to be laid off of work and to not have enough money to go around. If that's what you are expecting, I can tell you, you are not tapped in to God's economy. God's economy isn't limited by what this world does. God can make you reap a hundredfold in a year of famine. I really believe that. I really believe that God is trying to encourage you to just trust Him. In God we trust is written on our money. But you know, the truth is most people trust more in the currency. They trust in the financial markets. They trust in all of these things, anything other than God. And in the last times, the Scripture says that the things which can be shaken will be shaken so that the things that cannot be shaken might remain. You know, this world system is going to crumble and fall. It's shaky. You can't put your trust in that. Now, we all live here, and you've got to buy and sell, and you've got to do things, and there's nothing wrong with you making plans for the future and doing some things. I'm not saying that we just move into a cave somewhere and hold up and wait on Jesus to come. But I am saying that even though we have to function in this world, we shouldn't be of this world. We should not be limited to and controlled by this world's finances and way of thinking. And that's the reason that I'm making these programs. And I believe that God is speaking directly to some of you. I'm going to continue this on my program tomorrow, and I encourage you to listen in. I think that this is really helping people. And also, please get this brand new teaching that I have out. It's entitled, In God We Trust. And it'll cover all the things we've been talking about. I think it'll be a help to you. So listen to our announcer and then call or write today.
Andrew's teaching titled, In God We Trust, is available in a two-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1059C or DVD album T1059D when you contact the ministry. Your gifts help pay for the cost of this program. They're very important to us, and we thank you. The second teaching in the audio CD album titled Sowing in Time of Famine is also available. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching number T022C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and share with others. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our Phoenix, Arizona Gospel Truth Seminar, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be at the Arizona Biltmore Resort in Phoenix for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 1st through the 3rd and in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance February 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Houston, Texas February 12th through the 14th, Atlanta, Georgia March 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College Weekend March 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
One of the best ways that I have of ministering to people is through our Bible colleges. That's the reason I started it, because you just get saturated. You know, I was talking to a couple in our Bible college today, and they've been friends of mine for 28 years. They know about everything I've ever taught, and yet they've only been in Bible college here for 5 weeks. And I was asking them, I said, what's the difference? And they had a hard time figuring out exactly what the difference was, but basically they came to the conclusion it must just be the saturation, the fact that we are hearing it 4 hours a day, and then they go home and study, and they said it's made a huge impact on them. I tell you, you need to saturate yourself, and that's what our Bible colleges are all about. Please call that number you see on your screen and inquire about one of our Charis Bible colleges today.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
You don't put your seed in the ground and then the next day, boom, here's a full crop with all of the fruit on it. No, it takes a period of time, and you get first a little blade and then the ear and then the full corn in the ear. And you know what? There's a growth. There's steps and there's stages. And this doesn't only apply to farming, but it applies to ministry. It applies to relationships. It applies to prosperity, financial prosperity. It applies to wisdom, anything. It's just a key to the kingdom of God, that there's steps and stages.